The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles, and he said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me.
And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to debate among themselves, who among them would do such a deed? Then an argument broke out among them about which one of them should be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them,
The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who is seated at table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brother.
He said to them,
Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you.
But he replied,
Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny three times that you know me.
He said to them,
When I sent you forth without money bag or a stick or sandals, were you in need of anything?
No, nothing.
They replied, and he said to them,
But now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack. And one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. Namely, he was counted among the wicked. And indeed, what is written about me is coming to fulfillment.
Then they said,
Lord, look, there are two swords here.
But he replied,
It is enough.
Then going out, he went as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
Pray that you may not undergo the test.
After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done.
And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them,
Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test.
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked,
Lord, shall we strike with the sword?
And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
Stop, no more of this.
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him,
Why have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness.
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said,
This man too was with him.
But he denied it, saying,
Woman, I do not know him.
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
You too are one of them.
But Peter answered,
My friend, I am not.
About an hour later, still another insisted, But Peter said,
My friend, I do not know what you are talking about.
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying,
Prophesy, who is it that struck you?
And they reviled him and saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before the Sanhedrin, and they said,
If you are the Christ, tell us.
But he replied to them,
If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.
They all asked,
Are you then the Son of God?
He replied to them,
You say that I am.
Then they said,
What further need have we for this testimony? We've heard it from his own mouth.
When the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate, they brought charges against him, saying,
We found this man deceiving our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, a king.
Pilate asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
He said to him in reply,
You say so.
Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds.
I find this man not guilty.
But they were adamant and said,
He is inciting the people. Galilee, where he began even to hear.
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean, and upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people and said to them,
You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him.
But all together they shouted out,
"Away with this man, release Barabbas to us."
Now Barabbas had been in prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus, but they continued their shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate addressed them a third time,
"What has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been in prison for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched the rulers. Meanwhile, sneered at him and said,
"He saved others. Let him save himself. He is the chosen one, the Christ of God."
Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out,
"You are the King of Jews. Save yourself."
Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply,
"Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied to him,
"Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle, and Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said,
"This man was innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered for the spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfume oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandments. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Most of you here, I'm sure, have seen from time to time some of those big biblical extravaganza movies that they've made over the years, all kinds of different things, and especially at this time of year, they appear on television. Back some years ago now, one of the ones that was made that really made a big impact at the time was entitled The Greatest Story Ever Told. It was about, of course, the life of Christ. And it really, when it was done, it really, cinematographically, it was marvelously done, beautifully filmed, all kinds of different camera angles. And the movie featured a lot of the contemporary movie stars at the time, all playing little cameo roles. Of course, now if you see it, it's kind of dated, but at its time, it was quite the movie. And the thing that I remember about that movie the most was the scene of the crucifixion. You see Jesus hanging on the cross. The camera has a close-up of Jesus on the cross. And a thunderstorm comes up, and it's pelting rain. And the camera focuses very closely then on the side of Jesus, where St. John tells us the soldier had lanced him. And you see in that close-up blood and water flowing from Jesus' side. And as you watch it, the camera follows the blood. It follows the blood down the body of Christ, down the cross, onto the ground, where it runs into a little rivulet of water that's caused by the thunderstorm, and that runs into a little stream, and the stream runs into a river, and the river runs into the ocean. Powerful image, isn't it, of the fact that the blood of Christ saves the whole world. Blood flowing from the cross, down the cross, into the ground, into the river, into the ocean. The blood of Christ saves the whole world. And I think as we gather here today on this Palm Sunday, it's good for us to remember two things, I think. First is that blood of Christ flowing down the cross saves you and me. Every one of us. It's meant for every one of us. And every one of us needs that salvation. Every one of us needs that redemption. We can't attain it by ourselves. We can't earn it. It's God's gift to us in the blood of Christ. But secondly, if we are redeemed, if we accept that gift of redemption in the blood of Christ, we then have to live as redeemed people. Today, for example, when you take your palms home with you, why are these palms so important? If you come to take palms and bring them home because you think it's some kind of a religious talisman, some kind of a, you know, put your palms in and somehow you're going to have a blessing from those palms, well, I'm not so sure. Those palms mean that when we take them, that we recognize that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And those palms mean that we intend to live as redeemed people. That's what the palms mean. that we are. Each one of us is redeemed by the blood of Christ, and that we will strive to live as redeemed people. What does that look like, a redeemed person? Well, we get a perfect example of it today in the second reading. That beautiful hymn, early Christian hymn that St. Paul includes in his letter to the Philippians. This is called, in Greek, the kenosis hymn. Kenosis is the Greek word for the emptying out. The emptying out. Christ emptied himself out. He gave himself away. He put us first. Emptied himself out. And if you and I are going to live as redeemed people, that's the way we have to live. Empty ourselves out for one another. We can't be number one all the time. Can't be my way or the highway all the time. Can't be I'm always right all the time. We have to empty ourselves out for those around us. That's what it means to be redeemed. That's what we say we want to be when we take those palms. So as we gather here today, let us pray that the palms might symbolize for us, yes, the redemption that is ours in the blood of Christ, but also our commitment with God's grace to live as redeemed people and pour ourselves out as Christ did for us, for one another. May God bless you.